In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I was going to share the whole Happy New Year thing with you. She said she had a surprise. I may have one later. Well, we should be having a good time here, don't you think? Amen. Especially in the time in which we live, what a wonderful time. And to reflect on it during the season of Advent, the coming of Jesus, kind of a big deal. He came as a baby, but he's coming back. So we're in this time of preparation of Advent, preparing for this time in which Jesus will return. And I wanted to share with you this writing. This person was reflecting on his understanding of following Jesus. He's a very intellectual person. And he had listened to a couple of folks share their story, their witness, you might say, in other traditions. We should say it more often here. Their witness, the story in which they share how they came to know Jesus more fully as their Savior. And after hearing these stories, he wrote this: "But at that moment, the more ardent my affection for those young men of whom I was hearing, who for the soul's health had given themselves wholly to you for healing, the more was the detestation and hatred I felt for myself in comparison with them. Many years of my life had passed by, about 12, since in my 19th year I had read Cicero's Hortensteim and had been stirred to a zeal for wisdom. But although I came to despise earthly success, I put off giving time to the quest for wisdom. For it is not the discovery, but the mere search for wisdom, which should be preferred, even to the discovery of treasures and to ruling over nations and to the physical delights available to me at a nod. But I was an unhappy young man, wretched as at the beginning of my adolescence, when I prayed you for chastity and said, 'Grant me chastity and continence, but not yet.' I was afraid you might hear my prayer quickly and that you might too rapidly heal me of the disease of lust, which I preferred to satisfy rather than suppress. I had gone along evil ways with sacrilegious superstition. Not indeed because I felt sure of its truth, but because I preferred it to the alternatives, which I did not investigate in devout spirit, but opposed in an attitude of hostility. I suppose that the reason for my postponing from day to day, the moment when I would despise worldly ambition and follow you, was that I had not seen any certainty by which to direct my course." This man was spending time in a garden, having conversations with his dear friend, trying to sort out what it was to be a full Christian following Jesus. Intellectually, he knew and understood what was happening, but his heart had not changed. And in this time in the garden, in the year 386, Augustine was searching the Word of God through a letter written by Paul, which we call the letter to the church in Rome. It was the very words of this letter that we read today that had him write this. After searching his soul, many tears flowing from him, seeing his wretchedness before God because he had seen the change in other people and heard their words of what it meant to receive God's grace, he then wrote, "There I had put down the book of the apostle. When I got up, I seized it, opened it, and in silence read the first passage on which my eyes lit. Not in riots and drunken parties, not in eroticism and indecencies, not in strife and rivalry, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in its lusts." Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. "I neither wished nor needed to read further. At once with the last words of this sentence, it was as if a light of relief from all anxiety flooded into my heart. All the shadows of doubt were dispelled." The very Word of God was heard by St. Augustine in the year 386 as he sat in a garden, searching his soul and discovering his brokenness. Having heard the stories of those who received the grace of God, he was then searching deeper into his soul, stepping just a little bit away from his intellectual pursuits, and his heart broke, and the tears flowed. And even as he wrote, he said he didn't see a clear path as to how it would work out. There was no logic to what was going to happen next, and he couldn't grasp it, so he didn't. But when his heart broke and the tears flowed, he went back to his friend and he picked up the book and he read those verses, and it suddenly all made sense to him. If you don't want to be what you are, be what you want to be. Put away the things of the world. Put on the things of Christ. It suddenly seems simple to him. Doesn't seem that simple today for us, does it? His struggle is like ours. So before we go any further, I want you to just stop for just a moment and listen. Seek within yourself some truth. Within the fullness of who you are, I just want you to wonder and ask yourself a question. And that question is this: am I here today to fit God into my life? Or am I here today to have God transform me to the life He has for me? It's a question we should all ask ourselves. St. Augustine, as he's now called, spent many years chasing the world. His greatest desires were things of this world, and he did all that he could to chase them down. He had heard all about Jesus. His mother prayed fervently for his transformation. He knew it. But it wasn't until in his time of preparation for fully receiving Jesus that he took the moment to see who he really was. And that was in reflection to others who had received the grace of God. And he didn't like what he saw. And at that moment, he decided, perhaps there's another way. My hope is all of us have had that moment. But I know some of us, myself for a time, was perfectly happy fitting God into my life. It was a nice accessory, this Jesus. I could fall back on it when I needed to or when I wanted to. And if it became too difficult, I could ignore it. If it became too much stress, too much work, if the Lord began to press into my heart and show me things about myself that I didn't like, all I had to do was just pull my toe out of the water, and all was well. As we hear these scriptures this morning, we need to be true to ourselves. Listen to what Paul's saying in this urgent appeal that he has for the church. Besides this, you know what time it is. You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For the salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. This time in which we are sitting today, this time of preparation, isn't just during Advent. This time of preparation for the coming of Christ is our life. It's the time in which we live. At that time is now. The night is far gone, the day is near. As we're talking about the night being the darkness, we've lived in this darkness for some time, and the time of the night is coming to a close, and the day is near, meaning there's some urgency here. Paul's urgent appeal is what this is called. It is his urgent appeal to say, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared to receive Christ? Are you prepared for him to stand before you? Are you prepared to stand before him? Are you ready, is what he's saying. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put away the world, put on Christ, he goes on further. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, are his words, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. These were the words that Augustine heard that day, not knowing what to do next, none of it making sense, seeing no clear path. When his heart was broken open, and all that was within it, the light and the dark, poured out, and the tears flowed, he had a moment that turned into a lifetime, an eternal lifetime. He had a moment where he decided that I should do something, and then went a step further and began a process. It made sense to his logical mind. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If you are in a place of deciding how you want to be, and you are still in a place maybe being who you don't want to be, the best way to change it is move. And that's hard to do. And I think so many of us maybe use a different routine. Rather than step all the way in or step all the way out, we will often just decide to be on the fence, so to speak. One foot in, one foot out. If it gets to be too much, I'll just pull my foot out. If the world gets to be too much, I'll put both feet in for a moment. But not too long, because then I might lose touch with the world, and I don't want to lose the opportunity to satisfy those desires. I will stay close, but not so close. And we walk in that space. You ever tried to walk? That's uncomfortable. Because we don't see a clear path. And you never will until you get on the path that Jesus has for you. Amen? That path isn't clear when you aren't all in. If you do not put on Christ, you cannot understand how to put away the other things. We have choices to make, and I think we live in this fear. In my previous ministry, I worked a lot with people who struggled with addiction and alcoholism, and they would come and counsel with me, desperation, clearly, and they would talk to me about the steps. So one of the steps is you have to give your entire life to a power greater than yourself. Let's just say it's Jesus. And they would say this to me very often. I don't know how to do that. I said, you don't know how to do what? I don't know how to give my whole life over to something other than myself. I said, really? And I'm not going to lie, I occasionally laughed. And I would say, okay, so where's your family? Well, they're gone. Where's your house? It's gone. Where's your job? It's gone. Where's your car? Well, I wrecked it. Where's your driver's license? They took it. Oh. Why? My drinking, my addiction. Oh, so you do know how to give yourself fully to something, don't you? See, I know a little bit about this. I'd say, so when if you were desperate, you had that moment when you're trying to stop, right? And all the cravings and the desires are there, people will go to the ends of the earth to satisfy that desire. Doesn't matter what time of day. Doesn't matter what time of night. If you're lucky, your addiction's alcohol. You can get it anywhere. If it's something else, it's illegal, and you find yourself in places where you shouldn't be, ever, in danger, doing things you should never do. This is what happens. And they give their whole life to it, and it's their pursuit. And then they say, I don't know how to give my life to something fully. Really? Seems like you traded your whole life for something. Brothers and sisters, we're called to the same place. It just doesn't look that desperate all the time. The question becomes this: what will you pursue? Why are you here? Why'd you come here this morning? Did you come here to keep your foot in? Or did you come here to be transformed by the Word of God? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Why am I here? Is this my nod to stay safe and a little close, but not so close? Transform me, Jesus, but not yet. Why are you here? Because, brothers and sisters, wake up. Wake up. This time to go beyond entertaining a possible relationship with Jesus is coming to an end. This time of preparation is a time to seek out a full relationship, a deeper relationship, a complete relationship with Jesus Christ. That time to wake up is now.